Let's all stand for a moment, we're gonna pray together. I know it's been a busy and a active afternoon. As you're praying for the sermon, would you also pray that those who have come here to visit, those that have come here perhaps for the first time, that God's peace would be in this house. It's so important that, at least it is to me and this ministry, that those who come receive what God has for them. It's not what I have for you, but it's what God has for you. And that your hearts will be open. That is so important that your heart's open to what He is speaking to you. Because what I'm going to be talking about is the miracle of salvation. Because truly it is a miracle. And those who have experienced the salvation of God, sometimes we can hear things that we don't understand. And I hope your hearts are open to believe what's being said, that is for you, that is for me. And that God is not a respecter of persons. I hope you know that by now. God is not a respecter of persons. He does not treat one better than the other. Amen. Sometimes in our flesh we do, but God is not like that. And if anything that I may say or do or in this realm, and as I'm ministering to you by the Holy Ghost, I pray that if you have any misunderstandings, that you would come and ask and get clarity so that you know what thus saith the Lord for you. There's nothing going to be spooky. There's nothing going to be uncertain in your mind about what God has for you. But I want you to understand that God loves you. And you are truly, truly important to Him. If you're here under the sound of my voice, perhaps someone has invited you. But the Bible says this, that no man can come to God unless His Spirit draws them. And when God's Spirit starts to work in your life and begins to draw you to Him, there's something He begins to do. He allows you the opportunity to shed away the old and become new again. And that's what's so beautiful about God. Old things are passed away. Everybody say it with me, passed away.
Passed away.
And all things become new. God wants someone here to know that your past can be erased. Your past, as you know it, I don't care what you've done, how far you've gone into that darkness, God can cleanse it.
Amen.
And
amen.
Take it away.
Amen.
So don't ever, I've heard people say this, don't ever say that God can't reach you. Because He will go in the lowest pit. Right where you've been. Some of you have been in some low places.
Amen.
Places where you looked up and you felt there was no hope, but you're here today.
Amen.
And though you've been in those places, God is able to do even greater. So we're all standing on our feet and we're wondering what's next. We're going to pray and ask God that our hearts will be open. In Jesus' name. Father, we thank You. Pray along with me. You're praying for yourself. You're praying for the Word of God that would have an effect on each of our lives. Even though you have been saved, even though you're in the church, even though you're part of the body of Christ, you still need the Word of God to cleanse and to wash us. And Lord, I pray that eyes would be opened today. I pray that the revelation of Your truth would be made known unto those who perhaps have never ever heard it in this way. I pray, dear God, that hearts would be open in such a way that they're not ashamed to say, I need more of God. If I have not been what I thought I should be or been able to approach God this way, but now I have confidence. Because the Bible says for us that are believers in God that we should be boldly to come boldly to the throne of grace in our time of need. And we all need Him in some measure, some way. There's a lot going on in this earth, in this world today. Pastor said it when he was praying for the congregation earlier. There's a lot going on. And we need to have the comfort of His Word and the comfort of His presence. Praise be to God. And we thank You, Father, that You are able to do abundantly above whatsoever we ask and think. And everyone said, in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
You may be seated. I'm going to read a scripture, but you can be seated. That's fine. I want to talk to you briefly, I say, about the miracle of salvation. And I want to tell you a little bit about myself. I did not come into this truth because I was hungry. And when I say hungry, I'm talking about seeking after it. I wasn't seeking after God. I had everything I wanted, so I thought. And that's the darkness that we can walk in sometimes, when you think you have everything you need and you're really empty. See, that's the ignorance that we can have in us, where we are not looking for God, but God's looking for us. Because he's not willing that any should perish, amen? And so when we consider that out of all the people in the world, you're sitting here today, under the sound of my voice, perhaps hearing things for the first time, perhaps hearing something you've already known or heard, but you still believe, amen? Believing in the word of God, because the Bible talks to us about how that the word of God, many people don't know this, that it was not comprised of one author. It has one author, but it was written by many men. Some were shepherds, some were kings. They're all walks of life. There were several. It was told in a description how that every author of the Bible, every person that was involved in writing it and penning it out as holy men of old were moved upon by the Holy Ghost to write the scriptures, it was put into a computer, and they asked the computer just one question: how many authors are there? And the computer came up and said, just one. Many voices, but one spirit. Many voices, many people penned it, but it came up with just one. And we need to understand that it's the Spirit of God that not only moves in the preacher, but he also moves through his word. Amen? Yes. And when you hear the word of God, you're going to be able to walk away, and it's going to stick with you. It's not something that just will fall to the ground, because God brings us together so that he can plant his word in our hearts. And that which he's planted in our hearts doesn't just go away. Because someday you're going to be held accountable to what you hear. Amen. Someday, you see, there's been times when people have come into the congregation or come into the midst of the preaching of the word of God, and they have walked out not the same, but denying the truth. I hope that the word of God pricks your heart today when you say, that's me. When you can say honestly, that's me that he's talking about. Those who were once in darkness have found a great light. See, when the word of God goes forth, he's always looking for a response from us. And we're not responding to man. This is not about me. This is not about the church necessarily. It's about the Spirit of God in the midst of the church. And he is drawing men continually to his throne so that they can be saved and delivered. And that's the miracle of salvation. Because it's a spirit that you cannot see. The Bible says a spirit has not flesh and bone. We understand that, right? We can't see a spirit, but we can feel his presence. And that same spirit that created all things manifested himself or became flesh for our sakes, not for his. He came and he dwelt on the earth so that we might know him. Because we needed a perfect sacrifice. A sacrifice that we couldn't give of ourselves. There's nothing that you will ever do that will cause you to earn salvation. You can't be good enough. That's why it takes the pressure off of us. You can't get good enough. You can't perfect your own life. But God, by his Spirit, calls you into his kingdom. And he has a grace. You know, when I look at children, when I consider, I've had five children, my wife and I should say, there was a shared agreement in this. My wife and I have had five children. And then now we've had the pleasure of being with our grandchildren. And when you are around children, you have a certain kind of favor towards children. Because you know that they're learning. You know that they're coming of age. You know that they're going to have experiences and they don't understand everything. I want you to know that God looks at you the same way. He doesn't expect you to come into the house of God and be perfect. He's coming. He says, come unto me as little children. And why does he say that? Because he understands that you don't know everything.
That's right.
But there are people here that can nurture what God is doing in your life.
Yes.
And because they're here, They're here not for themselves, but they're here for you. When you understand that this is a body, the Bible says that the church becomes the body of Christ. How can that be? See, there are some of us in here, there are ears and mouths and legs. We're all part of a body of believers that make up the body of Christ. Not in totality, but I tell you this, the giftings of God are without repentance. When God begins to work in this body, it will minister to you whatever need you might have. Because God is real, amen? Amen. And he's in the presence of his people. When I think about the miracle of salvation, there was a time when I wasn't part of this church or a body. I was outside of the things of God. And to think that we hear it on the news about the Jews and how their country is being attacked by terrorists or by whatever, Hamas, the different people that are attacking that country. Do we all know that salvation is of the Jews? It was through the Jewish nation that salvation has come to all mankind. Yeah. And when you consider, when you look at the whole picture, we're considered Gentiles. Everybody say, I'm a Gentile.
I'm a Gentile.
Nothing to be ashamed of, it's just that you're not born a Jew. And because of that, because we come under that heading of a Gentile, salvation has been extended to us. Yes. It wasn't from us, but it was extended to us. Why am I making that an emphasis? Because I was standing on the bus stop the other day, and I saw these men. I looked over, and they were dressed in purple robes with these banners around them. And I was like, what in the world? I see it all on Colfax, but that's something I hadn't seen before. And they were out there preaching, proclaiming the world that they were the Israelites. What? And he said, can I talk to you? And I said, I'm waiting on a bus. You can talk to me while you're standing here, but that's as far as this is going to go. And I wasn't being rude. It's just that I have found the truth. You see, you don't need a new truth. Because when you come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that he's not just your Savior, but he's your friend that's taking it closer than a brother, and that he's the same God that came in the form of a man to save you from your sin, I don't need saving again.
Amen.
It's a one deal. When I got married, I had made up my mind. She was the one, and she made up her mind. I was the one. I just had to check with her real quick. That being said, it's kind of late, but okay. Getting past that, when we made up our minds and we decided to commit ourselves to one another, I don't need another. When Jesus Christ came looking for you and he found his creation, those that would acknowledge him in all their ways and depart from evil and begin to walk in his holiness, he didn't look for another. You're it. You're going to make up the bride of Christ, and you're going to be the ones that when he comes for his church, when he comes for his bride, he's calling you up.
Yeah.
He's calling you. So everybody say it with me.
I'm a part of that bride.
So when we hear things going on in the world, we don't have to be afraid. Because just like I would, if anything were to happen to my wife, I would protect her. And I'll be very honest with you. When I was growing up, I wasn't one that would protect anybody. I wasn't. I had some brothers jump over a fence one day and say, your brother's out there fighting, but you were watching. And they looked me right in my face, brother, and said, don't you ever do that again. I said, okay. He was winning. Why would I jump in the fight? He doesn't need my help. God doesn't need your help for your salvation either. He doesn't need your help at all. Because everything he does is for you and to you, and then eventually it'll be through you. Because he wants you to be saved. He wants you to partake of his blessings. Amen?
Amen?
So when I was confronted by these young men about not protecting, I knew my nature had changed. And see, I'm saying this for a specific reason. When you come to God, you're going to change. You don't stay the same. And if you're still, how can I say this, walking or saying that you're a Christian and God is not transforming you, you need to go back to say, Lord, why not? What's not happening in my walk with you?
Right.
What things have I not given up that
that's
you
right.
nudged me or you encouraged me or you wanted me to let go of and I'm still holding on to? Because if you're not growing, it's not because of God.
Right.
If you're not growing and becoming a new creation in Him, it's not because something is deficient in your walk with God. It's what you're choosing and not choosing to do with God. Because He wants you to grow. Because the Bible even said of Jesus Christ, He grew in grace and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We grow. We don't stay the same. We're being transformed continually. Those things which have you bound, you can be loosed. Because He came to set the captives free. Amen? I don't care what you're captive to. You may not even think of it as being captive. Sometimes you can be captive to your own family. You can be captive to mentalities or thoughts that are wrong. You can be captive to what you believe. You can be in error. But in this atmosphere, and you, when you hear the truth, if you hear it with an open heart, God can change you. Everybody say it with me. God can change me. Because when I was growing up, I always wanted to be different than what I was. Not taller necessarily, but something different. I always felt there was some kind of deficiency. And then we, as it were, as you're growing up, you kind of gravitate to different things and ideas. And God has to break all that down and start afresh. He wants to mold you and make you to glorify Him, not yourselves. Praise God. I want you to go with me to the scripture. You find it in Matthew 24. If I get a couple of amens, we're there. Praise God. On verse 36, it reads this way. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. This is speaking of Christ's return. Not that the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And Jesus is speaking to the congregation, to the people that He's ministering to. But as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Noah, everybody knows the story about Noah, right? There was an ark that he built. It took him 120 years, but there came a time when that ark was going to be closed. And it was to judge humanity because of their unbelief and because they chose not to serve the living God. For as in the days were of the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When it talks about the coming of the Son of Man, it's referring to Jesus Christ's return. Then shall two be in the field. Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house knew, had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. We may not, or you may not, consider or think about this often, but Jesus Christ is coming back for a church. And if you don't study or don't know about eschatology or the things that are the coming of Christ, you'll spend your life just spending your time, your life, your effort, accumulating the things in this life, and you won't have nothing kept in the kingdom of God. You see, don't negate the fact that God has given you time, but that time is limited, amen? All of us know at some point we will lay this fleshly body down.
That's
right. Doesn't live forever. But because of the promises of God, what has He given us? Eternal life. And that's the blessing of knowing Him and serving Him. Why do we serve God? Because there's a reward on the end. Because not only that, it's the fellowship that we have with His Spirit. I don't know what it was for you, but when I came to God, and what I was speaking about earlier, when I came to God, I was alone then. And most of my life, even though I had family, I still felt alone. You ever been there?
Amen.
You could have I have a total of us with six kids. And in those kids, we had close relations, but we were not as close as some of the people I've been involved in this church. That may sound like a strange thing to say, but God calls you out of families. He calls you out of situations and circumstances that you might be in so that he might save you. Yes. And sometimes, even in service, it's good to be away from your family. You might say, why would you say that? Because sometimes when you're around your family, you feel a certain thing. You feel a certain way. But when God's dealing with your heart, that's who he's calling. He's calling you to come out from amongst them so that he can save you. And you never know that he may take you and use you to save someone in your family. But when he's dealing with you, let him work on you. When he's drawing you by his spirit, let his spirit do what he wants to do in you. Because as you yield yourself to God, you'll find that he has a walk for you. He's determined that he will bring about changes in your life that you can't do on your own. Amen? So, the coming of the Lord is important. When we go to chapter 5 in John, if you turn with me to John 5. Thank you, sister. John 5:24. We said this earlier, but I'm just going to use it. It's good for repeating. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him where? In spirit and in truth. Now see, in the Old Testament, they had the presence of God's spirit, but they did not have the indwelling of his spirit. Do we all understand that? And when we don't have the indwelling of the spirit, it's that spirit that speaks to us. It's the spirit that he said that he would give to his church that would guide him into what? All truth. It gives us also the hope of the resurrection. What's the resurrection? Just as Christ was raised from the dead, so will you rise. Not just from the earth, but if you should pass before the Lord should come, you will be part of that bride of Christ. Amen? So, as we go from there, we want to go to John 5:26. Jesus said, and I speak unto... Oh, I'm sorry. I want to read before that verse. My apologies. Okay. Now, various nations were around Jerusalem, and that Samaria was one of them, and that was another nation that was connected to or around the Jews in their country. And I want to read an account to you. It says in verse 10, John 4:10, it says, Jesus said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that said unto thee, give me drink, because he was sitting at a well waiting for her. And that's what God is doing with you in your life. He's waiting on you. He's going to be waiting, and you're going to come. You're going to hear the preaching of the Word of God. You're going to come, and you're going to have needs in your life, and you're going to come because he's drew you by his Spirit. And if thou knewest the gift of God and who it was that saved him, then give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. She observed his condition, but not knowing everything that was about him. And the well was deep. And whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? She's referring to the past, when people had dug the original well, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto him, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. We talked about that earlier, eternal life, God's eternal life. And the woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither, to draw. Jesus said unto her, call thy husband to come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that the Jerusalem is the place where where men ought to worship. And then Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem, speaking of a place of worship, worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The salvation that he was speaking of came as a result of the lineage of the Jews. For the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit. Everybody say in spirit.
In spirit.
And in truth.
And in truth.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We look to a God that we cannot see, but we believe. You can experience God for yourselves when you call upon him. Could we just for a moment just lift up our hands? And I just want you, not out of necessity, but just to think about the things that God has done in your life and just to thank him for just a few moments. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be alive in this season of our lives. We thank you, dear God, it's your will and your purpose to reveal yourself to us by your Spirit. And we're grateful, God, for all that you've done for us. And everyone said it in Jesus' name. You see, that, just that, what are you sowing to? You're sowing not to your flesh. You're not doing something that you want to do. But when we worship God, we're sowing to the Spirit. Everything that you do in regards to God has to be done in the Spirit. He said, when you read the Word of God, I don't know if you lately, more so than ever, I have felt his Spirit when I read the Word of God. And it confirms to me what his Word says. He says that my Word is Spirit and is truth. And when you engage yourself in reading the Word of God, it's going to minister to your heart the truth of God's Word, and it's confirmed to you that you're in his will and in his purpose. But when you're not in his will, when you're not obeying the Scripture, it doesn't condemn you. Because the Bible says we're condemned already if we don't believe. That's how I was when I came to church. I was not a believer. I didn't even know what believing in God was. I knew believe there was a God, but believing him and serving him and living for him, that was not part of my vocabulary. It wasn't a part of my lifestyle or anything, because I saw people go to church. I saw people enter into church houses, but they weren't any different when they came out. And you might say, well, you're being critical. No, the truth is that God is looking for us to be different as well. When you come to God, there should be a significant change in your life as well as in mine. I love my wife's testimony, because it was interesting. Before she encountered or received the Holy Ghost, she went to church. And was it just a baptism that you went through? And when she went through that, when she was baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, she said she remembers going and looking in the mirror, looking for a change, looking for something to be different. And then when God brought to her the truth of being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of her sins, when she didn't have to look in the mirror, it was a change. When she was filled with his Spirit, amen, there was a change. Amen. Where there was the cravings and the things, the lust of the flesh and things that were working in our lives, on all of our lives, there was a change. No one has to tell you that you've been born again once you have been. Once you've been filled with his Spirit and you speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And I make that very clear. It's not you that's speaking. God's speaking through your voice. He's speaking through your tongue. He's using that unruly member, as the Bible describes it. Because the same tongue that you can praise God is the same God, the same tongue you can curse someone else out with. Yeah. So what he does, he goes to that unruly member. Yeah. And I'm saying these things to you so that don't disqualify yourself from serving God. Because what you can't control, the Bible says that every beast, every animal, everything that's in the world can be tamed by man except for the tongue.
That's right.
So when God can tame your tongue, he's really done a work. Some of us, even though we've got the Spirit of God residing in us, we still have to have our tongue tamed. We still say things that we ought not to say. We still are bitter. We're still gossip. We still say things that we ought not to say. But God is able to rule over that unruly member. He's able to change our tongue because he first changes your heart. It's an operation that only the Spirit of God does because he knows the heart. I used to be, when I would read the scripture that says, the man's heart is desperately wicked, I said, I'm not desperately wicked. God, I think I'm nice. But see, how you perceive yourself is how you will approach God. If you think you're good enough, you won't think that you need God. If you think that you have not done anything that could offend a holy God, you're mistaken, friend. Because he's holy and he's righteous in all of his ways. But the beautiful thing about God is that he has a way for you to escape from the penalty of your sin. The penalty of creation's sin is because you can be covered by the blood of Jesus. And when he does that work, it's something that he did, not we ourselves. So we don't take any credit for what God can do. We allow him to be who he is, and he is God. He's the one who created us, not we ourselves. He's the one that made us into his image, but yet he knew that he would give us the freedom of a will that we can do whatever we choose to do. And if you love him, you'll serve him. If you love him, or you have a glimpse of how good he's been to you, even that you've been through, everybody, there's not one person in this room that has not been through something. Something you've been through, but you're still here. And you still have an opportunity to live for God. And see, you have to understand that there's always going to be warfare. And when I say warfare, I'm talking about in you. Whether or not you want to serve God or not. Whether or not you really want to even know him. And don't think that ignorance excuses you. Because the Bible says even creation tells you about how good and how good. That gives you the knowledge of who God is. You know there's a God. You know you didn't wake yourself up this morning. You made a God to bed and got your clothes on and got busy going places. But it was God that gives you that breath of life. It's God that walks in you. It's God that is present in your life. And when you realize that, you didn't make yourselves. But you got to understand something. This God wants, the God that we serve, wants to know you intimately. And the way you learn about your God is like Pastor said earlier. We start by saying he prayed. He prayed, just like you can pray. None of us are better than the other, but we can all pray. And God wants to know us in our capacity. You know, like I was fascinated because I asked one of the sisters on Zoom call, I said, when did you come to know God? She said, I opened my heart to God when I was 5 or 7, 5 years old. And I was like, wow. So God, who knows everything, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient, he knows everything, he sees everything, can humble himself to speak to a child. So don't disqualify yourself. He wants to know you. He wants to be intimate with you. He wants you to be able to cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. He wants to know the things that you struggle with. And you might say, why is that important? Because what you struggle with affects him. Because, see, if you're his witnesses, and you are the light of the earth, of the world, and you are the salt in the earth, what he's planted here, you make a difference to everyone's life you come across. I walked past a man the other day, today actually, and I was so surprised. He said, I felt something when I walked past you. I was like, man, I wonder what that was. But you know something that's going to happen in your life is that when you're born again, you're going to be more sensitive to spirits, and that's not to frighten you, it's to make you aware. And when I say sensitive, I mean that people will sense God's spirit in you, and you will sense spirits or God's spirit in other people. Okay? Once you know that, God is not trying to And I'm not trying to be, how can I say this? You need to be aware that God is a spirit. And there is nothing that you need to ever be afraid of with dealing with spirit. You don't have to be afraid. Because what set me free in my thinking was this. When I learned that, the Bible says that God is the Father of all spirits.
Hallelujah.
He's the Father. Anything that's been created was created by God.
Yes.
And because he created all things, you have nothing to be afraid of. Because when you're in the midst of something that is causing you to be frightened or causing you to be uncertain, you can call upon your God and he will protect you.
Yes.
And he will keep you. You don't ever have to be afraid of spirits, nor of people. I've had some strange encounters, and I'm not going to go into that. Strange encounters of wicked kind. But God has kept me every time. And he'll keep you every time. But the significant part is that his love for you never changes. You're not going to do everything perfect, church. I'm a witness of that. You're not going to do everything perfect, but we serve a perfect God.
Yes.
And he's not willing that any should perish, so that whenever you get off course, whenever you start to go to the left or to the right, rather than staying on the mark, he'll reveal that to you. Not so that you will feel condemnation, but so that you will seek him and be transformed by his word and by his truth. Amen? Now, I want you to visit another scripture with me. John 6:63. We'll be wrapping this up real soon here. John 6:63. Thank you. It is the Spirit, speaking of God's Spirit, that quickeneth. When the Bible says quickeneth, it refers to being brought to life. And the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus is declaring through his scripture, through the word, that his words are spirit. When something is spirit, it cannot be destroyed. Everything is created in the spirit first before you see it manifested in the flesh.
Yeah.
It is the spirit that quickens or gives us life. And the flesh profited nothing. And the words that I speak, when you receive a word from God, when he literally speaks to your spirit, it won't fall to the ground. It will not return void. It will not be empty. Something will be accomplished because of that word that he's given to you. And it's important that you understand that we serve a God that we can't see in the flesh, but we can feel in his spirit. But there is some of you that believe not, in verse 64, for Jesus knew from the beginning that there were those that believe not and who would betray him. I want you to understand, without us understanding everything about God, he knows everything about us. Okay? And he knows that, he knows if you believe in him or not. He knows if you trust in him or not. He knows what you've heard, if you believed upon it, or if you're going to even act upon it. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given him unto of my Father. And when Jesus is speaking of his Father, he's also speaking of the Spirit. You can't come to God without his Spirit drawing you. And when you feel the drawing of God's Spirit, what's that like? It's when God starts opening your eyes to his truth. It's like when you have this spirit abiding in you, you begin to become sensitive in the sense that you will feel burdens and things that God wants you to feel so that you can be a part of his work. So you can be a part of his kingdom. So you, and it says, except the man be born again of the water and the spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God will open up your eyes to spiritual things, and it's only he can do it. He's not doing that to frighten you or to cause you to turn from him. He's doing that so that you know that this world that we live in is not just one dimension.
Yeah,
it's spiritual things that are going on in the midst. And it helps you to understand that if you see all this craziness or you see people bound in certain lifestyles or certain religions and certain things, they're bound because they're in darkness.
Yeah.
And the enemy does that. The Bible says the people of this world are blind because, or the ignorance that's in them is because of the prince and the principalities of this earth.
Yes.
There's people here that are bound by things that you can't see, and you don't even understand it. I was so blessed by this woman that I went to go work on her apartment. And when I was working there, she said, I used to be a Buddhist, and she had these marks on her. I didn't understand what they were all about, but she said, I have these markings on me because I was a Buddhist. But it was my five-year-old son. He went to, I believe it was a daycare center where it was a Christian daycare center in China, in Japan, where she was at. And she said her son would come home, and he was only 5 years old. He kept saying, we need to go to that Amen church. And she said, he kept saying that, and she didn't know why. She said, we need to go to that Amen church. He was so adamant. We need to go to that Amen church. And so she started going, and she became a believer. And she's in the United States now. And it was amazing to me that it was just out of the mouth of babes. Someone so young was able just to say that simple term, or we need to go to the Amen church. Do you guys ever say amen?
Yeah.
And it says, so be it. And it was so powerful that she said there are a lot of people, and she wasn't being judgmental. She said, there's a lot of people that say they're Christians, and she had this look on her face like, but they're not.
That's right.
Would people say that about us? They say they're Christians. And she said, some of them, they still do all these things that are in the world. See, let's come out of the world, church. I'm encouraging you. Anything that looks like the world, come out of it. Not to be religious, come out of it because it's bondage.
Yeah.
It won't serve you well. And I know that there are those of us that struggle and sometimes with what we call the world because we still love it. But I want you to, if you're honest with God, he can remove that out of your heart. And then when you start seeing that what you love was nothing more than your bondage. What you love was nothing more than something that you used to entertain yourself. What you love was just temporal. It was only going to last for a short time. And if you are engaged in a lifestyle that are in the world, they are temporal. They will pass away, as I'm trying to say to you. But God's things are eternal.
Yes.
God's things are eternal. They will last forever. And we all have come out of darkness into his marvelous light, have we not? Verse 63. It says, therefore said he unto you that no man can come to me except it were given unto him by the Father. For that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no longer with him. You'll be given an opportunity to believe, and God will pursue you with his love and his mercy and his grace. But I pray that your eyes are open to what he's really doing. If you don't appreciate it, you'll find yourself drifting back. In the old church that came out of, you backslide. Going backwards back into the world that you came out of. Going back into the darkness that you came out of.
Yeah.
Going back into the old habits that you used to do.
Yeah.
Going back into things that you, even a coldness of your heart, you can go back to those things. So that's why we encourage you. When you get into church, come to church. When you get into church, read your Bible. When you get in the church, pray. When you get in the church, keep seeking the things of God, because the world is always trying to bring you back. It's always trying to draw you back into old ways of thinking. It's always going to do that. And that tug is called, once you are born again, that tug on your heart, that tug on your life is nothing more than temptation. And the Bible says, be of good cheer because I am overcome. You can only overcome in the church. You don't overcome when you're in the world. You've got to come out from among them.
Yes.
And be ye separate. You've got to come out for the mentalities that are in the world. And you can't do that if you spend your time there.
Yes.
If you're living in there. Because
yes.
He says, come out.
Yes.
Don't think you're not, how can I say this? There were Jews that said, we are not in bondage, but yet they were. In their perception of themselves, they said, but we are not in bondage to anyone. And sometimes, as man can have it, we can be blind to what we're bound by.
Yes.
You can. I've heard so much in since I've been in church recently about mentalities. Some mentalities, some ways that we think, it's nothing but bondage. And we're there and we can't seem to get out of it because we don't know how important it is to live free. We don't even know what it's like to be free. But God has brought us to a place of deliverance. He's brought us to a place where we can come out from darkness and walk in his marvelous light.
Amen.
He's done that. Praise God. Verse 68. I love this statement, and this is where we're going to stop. I love this statement because Peter was one of the disciples of Jesus Christ when he was on the earth. And then I'm going to actually start in, I'm going to read it in context, starting in verse 66. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So Jesus said some things that basically offended those that were following him at that time. And I will tell you, without you assuming that everything you hear from people in the church and outside the church or about the church, you're going to hear things sometimes that will offend you. But take it to God. Take it up with God. It says, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? He faced on, he did not give them a chance to ponder and to wonder. He turned to them and asked them that question, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I want to tell you today that if you believe in Jesus Christ, his words are your life. You find eternal life through believing his word and believing what the Spirit is speaking to you. You find eternal life by following after him. But some of you might say, well, Jesus Christ is not on the earth anymore. He's not. But he's come into the midst of the church by his Spirit. And if you believe that, you can be filled with that same Spirit. I said I was going to stop. I'm sorry. I'm still working on it. I lied. Let's go to Acts. I just want to bring a context to this. Because there was a time when God spoke to his people before he ascended into the heavens, before he left this earth, after he was resurrected. He told them to go and wait on a promise. And I want you to be aware of that promise before we walk out of this house. It was a feast day. And if you're familiar with Jewish customs, Acts 2, verse 1. Acts 2, verse 1. The Holy Spirit comes to Pentecost. Pentecost is nothing more, not to diminish its importance, but is a feast, a holiday that the Jewish people would celebrate on. 50 days. That's what Penta means. And then it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all filled, all with one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like of as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, and they were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. Now, I want you to imagine this. These were men that did not speak in other languages, but they were speaking in the people, the multitude that was around them. They were speaking their languages. They were hearing, and this is what they were hearing. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these men, all these which speak Galileans. If you're a Galilean, you're going to be speaking Galilee, what they spoke in that region. And how hear we every man in our own tongue? Because see, when they all came together, they came from different parts of the country wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt, in parts of Libya, about about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues and wonderful works of God. You see, when someone speaks in tongues, they are speaking in a language. A language that may not be known to the speaker, but is known to mankind. The Bible says that those that are filled with God's Spirit will not only speak in the tongue of men, but they'll also speak in the tongue of angels. So you just need to understand that when you hear someone speaking in tongues, you may not understand it because you may not be familiar with that language, but it is a language that is in the earth. Amen? Just so that you think people are not just spouting off things and speaking gibberish. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, here's Peter again speaking. He's one of Jesus Christ's disciples. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be it known unto you, hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." I want to divert for a moment. In the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, you'll see the term prophet used, which means that was a man that was called by God. There were specific people that God called upon to minister in the Old Testament to the believers, or those that were following after God. Prophets were raised up so that they could speak on behalf of God to the people to turn them away from their sins or to turn them back to God. They would be the go-between, as it were, as an intercessor, someone that would stand before God for the people's sake so that God's wrath would not be upon them. So just like we have in this day and age teachers and prophets and pastors to turn us away from the things that we're walking in so that we will walk with God, so back then they had the prophet. And the prophet, in their time, the words which they spoke were written down, and that's what he's referring to in this passage. He says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." Everybody say, all flesh.
All flesh.
That means you. That means me. He said, all flesh, because God is not a respecter of persons. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. And your young men shall see visions. The Bible says that God will speak to his people through dreams and through visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. I'm not that old, but I do dream. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in earth, and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And he's speaking of the miraculous thing that we will see, not just in mankind, but also in the world. God has made his presence known to us. We can't ever stand before God and say, "I didn't know you." There's evidence of God everywhere. So let's all stand. The miracle of salvation is that the Holy God became man so that he could reach an unholy people to live freedom. That he could bring to a place where they would come to know him and to love him, and that his wrath would not be poured out upon them. He provided a way of escape for us. That's his grace. He provided something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. That's his love. So, could you just take a few moments and thank God? Just on your own. For whatever it is that you're thankful for. Some people should be thankful that they're among the living. Some people should be thankful for the very fact that because I'm among the living, there's still an opportunity for me to know Christ and to live for him. I've learned today that he's not a respecter of persons. He doesn't love more than he loves. He doesn't love one more than he loves others. He loves all of us. And all he wants for us, he says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Consult him in all thy ways, and he will direct your paths. If we would repent of our sins, ask God for forgiveness. He knows your heart. And if we ask him, he will forgive us. And he will lead us to that place where we decide to go through that watery grave, which is baptism, so that our sins can be washed away. When I talk about our sins being removed from us, he said that he will remove our sins from us as the east is from the west. But as a mental image, I want you to imagine this. If everything that you've ever done in your life, everything that you were ashamed of, everything that you're afraid of, everything that you walked in, everything you've ever done that's been offensive, every wrong you've ever done was written on a chalkboard for everyone to see. And then God just takes an eraser and just erases it. And just like that dust when you erase chalk falls to the ground, everything that you've ever done is removed by the blood of Jesus. He has provided a way of escape so that you don't walk in condemnation. He has provided a way of escape so that you don't have to walk in fear. He has provided a way so that you can receive his forgiveness for every mistake you've ever made, every wrong, every sin that you've ever done in your life. He said, I'm here for you so that you don't have to die in your sin. I'm your way of escape. So that's why I'm asking you and encouraging you to thank him, because he provided a way by going to a cross. And the wrath, if anyone ever tells you that God sent his son, yes, he sent his son, but he became the Son of Man. He became the Son of Man to take away the sins of the entire world. And because he became flesh, he was able to die for my sins. But because he had the eternal spirit in him, he was able to resurrect that body and walk amongst us and be a savior. Because he was not born of man. He was born of a woman that was impregnated by the Spirit of God. And we have hope because the sacrifice that God was, Jesus Christ, was acceptable. The wrath of God was poured out upon that flesh. That flesh was in that grave for 3 days. But he was able to allow his spirit to enter back into that same flesh and walk amongst us. And there was a witness that he lives again so that we might have that same hope.
It's okay.
And know that same thing, that we will live again. Death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? Because he overcame death, hell, and the grave for us. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear death because he died for us. There's people praying for you right now that your heart is open to his still small voice speaking to you. If you want to respond to that voice, if you want to respond to the drawing of God's Spirit, if you want to respond to him wanting to be reconciled to you, you can come up front and we'll pray for you.
Amen.
We're here for you. Some of you might be saying, well, I'll come tomorrow, or I'll come next week, or I'll come another time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation.